Welcome back to another episode of Uncle Takes. We're your hosts, Monica and Tank. And today, to help us navigate the movie Flatliners, the 2017 version, we have a very special guest. You may have seen him in the spring 2011 Pittsburgh Fashion Magazine as Jerk Off Against a Wall, or in his 2020 appearance on The Doctors as Jerk Off in a Swivel Chair, our dear friend and model doctor, Dave. Thanks for joining, Dave.
Thanks for having me.
Flatliners, the 2017 version, was directed by Niels Arden Oplev, and it stars Elliot Page, who plays Courtney, Diego Luna plays Ray, Nina Dobrev plays Marlo, James Norton plays Jamie, and Kiersey Clemons plays Sophia. And then I think the only other notable character is Kiefer Sutherland, and he's the teacher. I don't know, is he an attending?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get into that, like, where these people are in their medical profession, but anyway. So the summary I have for this movie is that after Jack Bauer intimidatingly demands that they advance medical knowledge or quit, a group of medical professionals embark on a mission to record brain activity after cardiac arrest, while a group of fellow dipshits await nearby to resuscitate them after a few minutes. After the first girl flatlines and gets resuscitated, the next day she's seemingly smarter, which makes all the other morons keen on stopping their hearts to experience minutes of death, to also expand their minds. However, things take a turn for the worse when these idiots learn of the side effects of flatlining, which is that their guilty conscience haunts them and causes them to experience guilty hallucinations. After the first girl jumps off a fire escape to her death, the remaining dumbasses proceed to make amends with their victims so as to not suffer the same fate.
I actually don't think Kiefer Sutherland needed to be in the movie at all.
That's why I called him Jack Bauer.
He doesn't really play a role. So he was in the original version from 1990.
Yeah, he's one of the Flatliners in the original.
And then he was playing a character with a different name in this, but apparently there's a deleted scene that says that he changed his name, so it's supposed to be the original character. That said, his character doesn't appear in this, and I don't think you need to see the first one to understand this one at all.
No. Yeah, so I guess the first question I had is, like, how these people are 25, right? Are they currently doctors? Have they graduated med school? Are they in a residency? What is their status?
Yeah, so the main characters are all first year medical students, it seems. So they're nothing.
Oh, they just got into med school?
Yes.
Well, then why did, like, I think at some point Kiefer Sutherland calls them doctors, but they're not yet doctors.
Correct. A lot of times they'll, you know, people will refer to you as, you know, young doctors or, you know, something. But none of them, at least to my understanding, at least at this point, what I was paying attention to in the movie, they're all first-year medical students.
Oh, okay. That clears things up. Particularly because, you know, they seem to not know fucking anything about practicing medicine. Okay, so that, I guess that leads me to my next question. Kiefer Sutherland is, like, doing rounds, but he's doing it in a conference room setting with like 15 people. Is that how med school is typically conducted?
So nothing about this is medically accurate, like even remotely a little bit.
Okay.
But in to the point of what happened in this, there, it is not uncommon to do what we call table rounds, especially for medicine folks, where you'll basically sit down with the team before you go see all of the patients and go through the list of patients that you have to go see and talk about what's going on with them. You know, are they going home? Are they getting worse? Do we, you know, what kind of workups do we have to do? And then go see them independently, or, you know, as a team. And then after you evaluate them, decide on what the next moves are. So that's not an uncommon practice. That being said, first year medical students do not go on rounds in basically any medical schools. They're almost all classroom based.
What's their patient interaction? Because at some point, like,
almost
the first, the first scene is Courtney is interacting with a patient as if she's her doctor.
Almost none.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
No.
Okay. Yeah, so then Ray, I guess, is Ray a doctor, or is he also a first-year medical student?
Which one was Ray?
The only sane one.
Diego.
Oh, he's also a first-year medical student. There's lots of first-year medical students, or medical students in general, oftentimes that have been in the medical field in some capacity for some number of years prior to starting medical school, in part due to the competition to get in these days. And so he mentioned that he was a firefighter at some point previously, which generally comes with some amount of background of basic CPR, you know, advanced and basic life support. And so he has some baseline knowledge, but no, he's still a first-year medical student.
Yeah, but I mean, firefighters are just EMTs.
Right, but they still have some baseline knowledge of medical training.
Gotcha. Okay. Is that like a common pool from which med schools recruit?
I wouldn't say firefighters, but a lot of people who are in college or between their, you know, gap years will oftentimes become EMTs. For one, the exposure to the, you know, medical field, as well as, you know, it's good for your resume to apply to medical school to be like, I spent X years as an EMT, you know, prior to applying.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad that was at least somewhat accurate. Yeah, but at some point, like, Ray is standing next to a monitor in the hallway, and he has the authority as a first-year med student to assign Jamie, fellow first-year med student, to do a testicular exam on a guy unnecessarily as, like, a joke. And I'm just, does that constitute medical malpractice?
Yeah, is that just like a sexual assault by proxy?
I'm pretty sure it's the latter. I don't know that it's malpractice because they don't have medical licenses, I guess. I think it's more so sexual assault by proxy.
Especially since the guy seemed to be resisting when he did it.
It's very reminiscent of the Family Guy episode where Peter is trying to do mouth-to-mouth on a person who's awake. Or after the car accident. Like, sir, I'm trying to help you. That's what that felt like.
With more testicular grabbing, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if someone tries to stop you when you're examining their testicles, do you just, like, sort of push past it? I guess it's not like emergency testicular exams, right? Like, if we don't do this quickly, so, like, the guy was like, no, I don't want one, and the guy was like, no, shut up, lay down and take it. He just kept reaching for his balls as the guy, like, followed up the table trying to get away from him.
Yeah, so yeah, no, you can't just examine someone's balls against their will. Unfortunately, or fortunately.
And the guy who, like, assigned it was supposed to be, like, the cool, smart one who, like, wasn't the jerk-off. Like, he tricked the other idiot into, like, doing an unnecessary testicular exam, and he was like, I got you. Like, I tricked the, you know, the sort of playboy himbo doctor. But it was like, no, the victim is the other guy. It's not the guy who had to, like, do the, like, you know? It's like, it's not like he examined your testicles or something. Now, do you guys practice on each other in med school? Is that
part of it? Not testicular exams.
No. That wasn't part of the curriculum. That was just extra credit.
Well, so there are standardized patients that we do it to.
Really?
Yes.
How does one apply?
Just professional come in and check my balls out?
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Yep, we do standardized patient rectal exams, vaginal exams.
How do you audition for that?
I'm sorry, audition?
Yeah, like to be a standard, because they usually act like I know.
Oh, good. I don't know how they do that. Okay. That was not in medical school training.
Like, do you have to, like, do a picture? Do you have to have, like, model testicles, or is it just like any old testicles would do?
Send some nut shots.
Again, not sure, was not part of that.
No.
Maybe in my future modeling career, but not at the moment.
Now I wonder, because when I found all those pictures on your phone, you said they were part of standardized picture station auditions, so that's why I was asking.
Oh, man. Okay, well, we get introduced to the characters, and then pretty early on, like, Courtney, Elliot Page, is wanting to kill herself to map what happens in the brain once your heart stops. So whenever she goes about doing this, there's like a wing of the hospital that is perfectly intact in the basement. It's just for, like, spillover in case of a natural disaster, I think she said.
It's like a proper hospital type thing.
Yeah, but it's still, like, heavily monitored by security and cleaning crews.
It's not it's not heavily monitored because they run down there a lot and do all kinds of flatlining down there.
But they can only do it for like 10 to 15 minutes at a time. Like the fucking security guards are doing their rounds. Like it's high stakes, you know, they're getting away with things. Anyway, so like Courtney, in order to recruit somebody to resuscitate her after flatlining, she like lures fuckboy Jamie, fellow first year med student, to the basement. And in that scene, I was like, why does she need to flirt with him? Can't she just ask him for a favor as a friend? Did you not think that was weird?
She didn't really flirt with him so much as just sort of misled him. Like, he just assumed it was sexual, and she just didn't disabuse him of that notion.
Well, I think the verbiage was something like, "What, you want to have some fun with me?" when he was making the same commentary about something else.
Yeah. No, I mean, I get that. But, like, yeah, are these people friends at the beginning of this movie?
It's unclear.
I think so.
They're classmates, but...
Yeah, but, like, it seems like you could just ask your friend, like, hey, can you help me with something tonight in the basement? They'd be like, oh, okay, sure. Like, you don't have to be, like, lure them with sex and then have... Then he sees the other girl there, and he's like, oh, it's a threesome, huh? This guy thinks every situation he wanders into is a sexual situation.
And Courtney's response is, I asked for his help, too, but he probably misinterpreted it. It's just like, no, you fucking misrepresented what you wanted to do. Yeah. He didn't misinterpret. He interpreted appropriately.
They, like, go down to the underground, you know, secret hospital in the basement, and the guy is, like, still not off this whole, like, they're gonna fuck thing. Like, he's pretty convinced. He's like, oh, this is even kinkier. We can fuck in the, you know, EKG machine or something. And it's like, I mean, I guess. Like, sure? Like, I guess you could, any surface, I guess.
Yeah. So Courtney lays out the plan to Sophia and Jamie. But whenever she's doing this, she said, if the brain is just another organ, why doesn't it shut off at the moment of death? So I thought this might be a good time. Like, how is death defined from a medical perspective? When does death occur? Are these people, in fact, killing themselves? Or is this just like a period of time where the heart is not pumping, but they are not yet dead?
Yeah. So it's an interesting question. It's actually something I've asked because when we do open heart surgery, we go on a bypass machine, and the bypass machine is doing the work of the heart, and it's sending blood and oxygen to the brain and to the body, and your body can basically go on functioning otherwise normally. We have people on bypass machines that are awake, walking around, shooting basketballs. You can see it online. And then there are times during a cardiac surgery, we actually go on bypass and then we cool you down to 17 or 18 degrees Celsius. And then we turn the pump off. So there's no flow anywhere in the body while part of the surgery is being done for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And then we start to recirculate it again. And so the question that I had asked is basically the same when you asked, which is, well, is this person dead or not? And the reason that they are not is that it is reversible. Is basically what it comes down to is that there is a reversible injury to tissue. And so you can have death of various organs. You can have death of your liver. You can have death of a kidney. You can have, but to be considered as a person dead needs to be irreversible death to basically the brain.
The definition I found was permanent cessation of heart activity and brain activity.
We can transplant hearts, but functionally, yes.
Okay.
But you can't transplant brains?
Correct.
So these people are not actually... Oh, sorry. What did you say?
Has anyone tried?
There's a Russian doctor who's attempting.
What do they think would happen?
I don't know.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Let's make a movie. Yeah, so these people, yeah, they decide to kill themselves, I guess, or be dead. How long does the brain keep going after you? I mean, that's all definitional, right?
Yeah, so it's usually about 4 minutes your brain can go without getting new oxygen, so long as your temperature is normal.
Right.
Meaning 98 yep. Fahrenheit?
They, like, cool themselves down in this? Is that just to, like, slow the death of things?
Yep. So it slows metabolic activity and need for oxygen, which is why we cool people before we, you know, circulatory arrest them on bypass for certain operations. And so it decreases the oxygen demand of tissue. The problem is, and why it's not necessarily accurate here, is that as you get colder, as you actually cool somebody, it does take a couple of minutes, depending on how you're doing it, you will, arrest from becoming too cold.
Like your heart will just stop?
Yep.
Okay. Interesting. So, in the movie, they seem to be able to rapidly change someone's body temperature from the mid-80s to the mid-90s in a matter of 15 seconds.
Yeah, no.
Okay, just using way too rapid?
Various
way too fast.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. So the next mechanism, because they're going to put them out with propofol, which I assume is a real drug that puts people to sleep. My question was, whenever it comes time to resuscitate them...
Oh, can we back up for a second?
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's always a question I had. So, it's always said that, like, there's not really drugs that, like, knock people out instantly, like you see in, like, shows. Like, what is the closest to that?
Propofol does it in about 10 seconds.
Like, if I inject it into somebody, they just get knocked out?
Yep, into their veins.
Okay, so that's, like, pretty close to what you see on TV.
When someone just, but the difference is that it's got to be through an IV. It can't be into a muscle.
Okay.
But so you'll see these people take these big needles and put them in people's necks, and the next thing you know, they're asleep.
You can't do that?
No.
Okay. Like a saw trap type thing?
Yeah.
Good to know.
It's good to know, yeah. For kidnapping.
Speaking of propofol, whenever it comes time to resuscitate them, they're going to give them a shot of epinephrine. Which, I don't know if they're just stealing people's EpiPens, but... is that enough to nullify the effects of propofol? Or
nope. They have nothing to do with each other. So
wholly inaccurate.
Yep. Well, it's wholly inaccurate that it negates the effects of propofol, but epinephrine is what's used to help restart somebody's heart. So you give a bunch of propofol to put somebody to sleep. Your heart shouldn't stop from that for any reason. It just basically makes you go to sleep and can make you stop breathing a little bit. That's why they're administered by the anesthesiologist generally, or in the ICU. Same way Michael Jackson died, was too much propofol. Too much propofol can make you stop breathing. And the drug works the same way alcohol does. It essentially makes you blackout drunk pretty instantly. The epinephrine, on the other hand, is used to restart people's hearts when they have cardiac arrests. It binds to the heart and stimulates it to try and start beating. And it binds to blood vessels to make them squeeze in order to try and increase your blood pressure, which can help restore perfusion back to your coronary arteries and try to get your heart pumping again.
Now, could you use it in like a normal situation as like a performance enhancer?
Epinephrine?
Yeah.
The effects are very short-lived, only, 30 seconds to a minute.
But like if you were running like a race or something.
And just on a continuous infusion?
Well, no, if you had like a, Usain Bolt, ran in like 10 seconds.
I guess immediately before, but it'd be gone before the starter the pistol went off.
Okay, yeah, you'd have to be very close to, Okay, good to know. Would it help, though, for like 10 seconds?
Maybe. I couldn't tell you.
You don't know. You never tried it.
Never tried it.
Yeah, okay. So this is clearly a risky endeavor that they're embarking on. She signed a waiver, though, absolving them of responsibility, so that's good.
Yeah, one of my questions was, is that how, waivers work?
I'm not a lawyer. I don't know, but I do know that, for example, we have people sign waivers for pregnancy tests, so some women don't want to take pregnancy tests before surgery.
Okay.
But the drugs that we use, if you were pregnant, can have effects on the fetus. And so they basically sign a waiver saying, I'm not getting tested. I say that I am not pregnant. If anything were to happen, it's, not your fault. But from a legal standpoint, I don't know how that holds up for anything.
Right. Because, but after the first one, if you and your friends are doing, risky medical procedures on each other in the basement, you can't just, sign a thing that says that's okay, right? Can you?
I mean, we do serial consents for surgery, which basically has a checkbox that says there will be a number of surgeries that will be occurring, all surrounding the same problem. And so it's one consent for all of the surgeries involving that thing moving forward. So maybe?
Like, sort of like a blanket consent for...
Yep.
Okay. Well, maybe.
So, I mean, even though they're in a hospital setting, you know, even with the best of doctors, they are stopping their heart, and it is a risk. What's the success rate of resuscitation in someone who's young and healthy? Like, it's not 100%, but do you think it's 90?
No, there's a lot of factors that go into it. The cause of cardiac arrest, if it's witnessed and they're started on chest compressions immediately. I actually don't know the number offhand, but generally it's pretty low for anybody across the board. But a lot of that has to do with why the person's heart stopped. Somebody whose heart stops because of very low oxygen is a very different type of cardiac arrest than somebody who has like a big heart attack. Those who have big heart attacks are much easier to bring back than those who have low oxygen for long amounts of time. And in some cases, it may just be as easy as the person's oxygen got low. As soon as you get it back up, you do one round of chest compressions, and all of a sudden they're back. So it's very heavily dependent on lots of things.
Yeah, it was sort of weird how bad they were at chest compressions. Like, as if they were doing, like, rounds and stuff, but it seemed as if they'd never had to resuscitate anybody. Because
as a first-year medical student, it's unlikely you have, except for the firefighter.
Yeah, he was the only one who seemed to know anything about it. But I feel like I would know more about it than these people seem to. Like, just from watching television, I guess. But...
They didn't know a ton of stuff.
They like, didn't know how... Like, the guy was, like, very softly doing chest compressions. The guy was like, no, that's not it. I don't know. I mean, I guess this is sort of a... Yeah, you'd think she'd want, like, a real doctor around when she decided to kill herself.
They've already taken the Hippocratic Oath. They can't kill them. Well, you know,
she killed herself the first time, right?
Did she? No, I thought she had to get shocked.
No, she shocked herself, I thought.
No, I think Jamie shocked her whenever she put herself to sleep.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I guess a doctor wouldn't be able to do that.
I mean, sure.
Yeah, so risky to say the least.
Okay, so the reason they want to do this is because Courtney wants to, like, map the afterlife as brain activity, is what she says. And also, her justification is, can you imagine the residency offers you would get? It's like, if you prove the existence and nature of the afterlife, you're going to, like, go back to med school and be like, oh, yeah, like, I got a great offer, like, from, you know, I can be an attending and do, what the fuck are you talking, like, this is the biggest deal in the world, and you're just like, yeah, I'm going to get great, get a whole scholarship out of this. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Just so short-sighted. It's like, yeah. And like I feel like they forget about the whole mapping the brain thing.
It
like
just
5 minutes
a drug.
In, yeah. Then they're just like, "Oh, this is really cool." Like, because then she becomes like John Travolta in Phenomenon, where she just has like advanced intelligence and can play the piano or something. And they're like, "Oh my god, this is because of flatlining." Like, obviously, it's like, why would that be the case? Like, they don't even have like a theory. They're just like, obviously, like this is how it works. But then that doesn't seem to happen to anybody else. Everyone else just becomes like
horny
on ecstasy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, right. They just sort of like it's just like they did club drugs and like start fucking each other. Like, and they never go back to any of them being super smart. Like even her.
Well, Sophia at some point just like manhandles a Rubik's Cube and figures it out. So I guess she got some of the brains. And then Jamie becomes Jesus because he intuitively gave somebody Ativan whenever they were having a seizure or something. So I forget what Marlo's smart moment was. Not sure she had one. But I think they were peppered in there.
Okay. Yeah, maybe I did. Okay. So maybe those were... I just assumed they were doing regular doctor stuff, but...
Yeah, I mean, she killed herself in order to be able to do a Rubik's Cube, so...
You can watch a YouTube tutorial. There's people who can do a blindfolded, like... It's so roundabout.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like... It'd be so much better if at the end it was just like revealed they were all suffering just from brain damage and they just like all thought they were really smart.
Except for Ray.
Yeah, who was just like, these people are idiots, but at least now I can get a better residency because half my classmates are, you know, they're oxygen dead. Deprived. Yeah.
killing is competition.
Or they're just all, yeah, they're all dead. It's just like you had to keep burying them. I thought they'd have at least one, like, sort of to raise the stakes. I thought there'd be at least one of their friends who, like, does it and dies. And then they're like, oh, we can't keep doing this because it's dangerous. But it is like, there's no consequences to the actual proceed. Like, there's no, like, real medical consequences. There's mostly just spooky ghost consequences, right? To, like, yeah. This crazy thing. And it's all, like, guilt-based, I guess?
100%. Yeah, it's wrongs you've done in your life, and they're coming back to haunt you.
But the guilt seemed very... Like, one is like, I killed somebody, and the other's like, oh, I just had a kid with somebody, and I wanted her to have an abortion, and then I kind of didn't. Like, yeah. Those seem like very...
It's different large, levels.
Yeah, like yeah, enormously his thing was, different levels.
He didn't show up to the abortion. He was like, yeah, I was going to go, but I just drove right by.
And one of them was like, oh, I changed the medical record in somebody that I may have murdered by accident. And you're like, those yeah. seem very different in
what happened with Courtney? It was like her
she
sister.
She killed her sister because she was texting and driving.
Died in a car wreck? Yeah, okay. And then what was Sophia, like,
sent fucking, naked pictures of someone.
Yeah, she, like, hacked some girl's nudes in order to, like, win class valedictorian. She did, like, some, you know, fappening leak stuff to, to her, like, Idrina Wong, I think it was.
Yeah, Irina, yeah.
She did, like, a little light child porn distribution, I guess.
I guess, like, it worked.
All these people should be arrested at the end of this movie, is what
Yeah.
Except for the abortion guy who just didn't, I guess, you're allowed to not show up for the abortion, I guess. So, I don't know. He was, like, the douchiest one, and he was the only one who it seemed like hadn't committed a major crime at that point.
Yeah, and also Ray.
Yeah, but does Ray flatline?
No, doesn't.
Yeah, Ray's just, like, the guy who's around the whole time being like, this is stupid.
He's the one bringing them back to life because,
stop
like, literally they go over the procedures whenever Courtney is talking to Jamie, and she's like, all right, you know the 10 steps in order to bring me back, right? And then as soon as she flatlines, he just forgets all medical knowledge he's ever had in his life. And he has the medical knowledge of a third-grade fucking soccer referee, you know?
Whatever it's worth, that's about what first-year medical students have on the whole.
Yeah, but, like, she recruited for this, like, flatlining club, like, you would for, like, I don't know, like, a D&D night, and you just, like, I hope people show up, and if they don't, we'll just, you know, play checkers or something. Like, when she only got the two, like, stupidest people she knew to show up, you think she'd be like, maybe we should postpone this, like, you know, we'll do something else. And she was like, no, we'll go ahead, like, worst case I die, because, you know, I only, like, why not bring Ray? I don't know, someone else who knew what they were doing. You know? Why not bring, like, do you have an older classmate? Do you have anyone who could do it?
Second year, third year, fourth year medical student.
Yeah, like, they could also co-write this paper on proving the existence of the afterlife. You know, something that all religions have been trying to do for, you know, time immemorial. You know?
Yeah, well, still on Courtney's first death scene, she's hooked up to an EKG, but they still manually check her pulse. Like, and that happens throughout the movie. Is that common? Like, can you not rely on an EKG machine? Do you have to double check it?
For we don't even recommend necessarily using checking pulses anymore. It's ultrasound guided now as best you can. Because the EKG, there's a couple different rhythms that can come up that can lead you to be dead. One of which is asystole, so the flatliner that they're referring to. Then there's something called PEA, which is pulseless electrical activity, where you'll have a normal-looking EKG, but your heart's not actually beating.
Mm-hmm.
And then two other rhythms that are ventricular fibrillation and ventricular tachycardia. And in ventricular fibrillation, your heart's just kind of quivering, And in ventricular tachycardia, your ventricles are beating, you know, 300 times a minute. But sometimes patients are actually, you know, still kind of awake and talking with it. So you have to make sure they have or don't have a pulse.
Right. Well, this looks like a stolicy to me, is what I was thinking.
Asystole, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's, so that's right. Also inaccurate, generally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking that, actually.
It's unclear as to how they... I think they saw one scene that the first one where they induce the cardiac arrest by shocking her. Is that what happened?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's called an R on T phenomenon, where you basically shock the heart when it's trying to, like, reset itself. And if you do that, you can cause what's called an R on T, and you go into ventricular fibrillation, that quivering kind of phenomenon, rather than asystole.
So it can certainly happen. Kill people with the defibrillator?
Oh, yeah.
If I just, like, walked around with the defibrillator, could I just shock people to death?
100%, yeah.
Isn't that what he does? There's a scene in Breaking Bad where, like, one of the businessmen just goes to, like, a bathroom and defibrillates himself to death.
I don't remember that. I believe you. But you've seen, like, baseball pitchers who have had the ball hit directly back at them and hit them in the chest.
Right.
And it causes the same phenomenon.
Okay. I'm surprised it hasn't been, like, a defibrillator killer. It's like serial killer.
Yeah, there's no murder weapon, right?
Well, this is a defibrillator, I guess.
Well, but they're portable.
Are there signs of that? Like, if I went and defibrillated people to death, would you be able to tell?
I guess not, so long as you had gel on them and then cleaned it off afterwards.
Why would you don't, would they'll burn, be burn
marks. Need a conductor?
You'll still shock them, but there'll be burns.
What if, can you do it through clothes, or you need to get on the, like,
skin? It has to be on the skin. I'm sure, so you could do it through clothes, you just need more electricity.
So I'd have to, like, go strip them and then defibrillate them after I gelled them?
Yes.
Okay, it's gonna be very sexual.
You have to wipe the gel off so that, yeah. You know, because that may be a telltale. And there's no guarantee that when you shock them, that you're going to send them into cardiac arrest.
What else could happen?
It's just, they have an early heartbeat.
Oh, so you just have to, like, keep doing it till they die? There's no chance they become superpowered from, like, too much electricity, is there?
Maybe static shocky?
Have there been attempts to, like, give people extra electricity and, like, overcharge, like, what do you call it? Like, when you overclock a PC? Can you, like, do that with people?
I mean, I guess that's technically what having a pacemaker is.
Yeah, but, like, if you, like, turn, could you, like, adjust your pacemaker up? If you want to, like, do cool stuff?
Isn't there a Jason Statham movie about this?
We can make your pacemaker go faster to increase your heart rate so that normal people who have baseline slow heart rates, if they want to exercise, it'll increase their heart rate as they exercise.
Are you just describing the plot of Crank? Is that what happens?
The plot of Crank is like Speed, but for his heart.
Oh, his pulse can't fall below a certain threshold.
Yeah, he'll die. Gotcha. So he needs to keep doing, like, cocaine and stuff to stop from dying and then having sex with Amy Smart.
But I thought he also electrocutes himself regularly.
That's obviously in Crank 2, High Voltage. Where
maybe our next movie.
The same plot happens. But with higher voltage.
It's an unlucky guy.
Yeah, I think he was involved in some crime or something.
Yeah.
But Amy Smart's still involved in that one, too, so that's actually a pretty good one.
They're trying to resuscitate Courtney, and Sophia, since she doesn't have any medical knowledge, she just, like, quickly fires off a text to Ray and says, "Can you come help us?" And somehow he knows, like, exactly where to go, how to get there, the door code to get in. He wasn't invited to the club, but he, like, immediately starts running and gets there in 2 minutes, despite being in a completely different building. While Courtney is, like, I don't know, minutes dead at this point, so there's no way he got there in time.
Yeah, how long until the brain, like, they start getting, like, brain damage?
If you're doing chest compressions right away, from the time of arrest, you can go up to an hour.
Really? Okay.
You know, in theory, you can have chest compressions, so long as they're high quality, indefinitely, and perfuse your brain, so long as you're doing them right. The problem is that this person never had oxygen going into them, so, you know, they put the breathing tube in kind of later, and, you know, it's all very confusing.
That was my next question. It's like, what, they wait to intubate, like, well into their heart stopping. Can't they intubate, like, as soon as they're out with the propofol? Wouldn't that have been better, like, to just plan ahead?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we do in surgery.
Yeah, because they didn't need to not have oxygen to flatline. They could have still been intubated while they defibrillated it, right?
Correct.
Yeah, who knew?
Yeah, I don't know, but no one ever thought to, like, breathe into her mouth, you know? Isn't basic CPR common knowledge? Tilt the head back? Isn't that taught in all middle schools?
I mean, these people didn't even seem to know it in medical school. They didn't.
they never put oxygen into her lungs.
They kept saying top medical school the whole time.
It's really like they got the explanation, and then the next thing that happened, he just completely forgot. She's like, okay, I'm going to knock out, and then you do all these things. He's like, oh, yeah, definitely. I'm going to do all the things. Then she knocks herself out, and he's just like, oh, fuck. What were those? I should have wrote those down. Like, and then the girl's just in the corner like, what the fuck happened? It's like the thing we just told you. Like, weren't you listening? Like, no one was listening. There were three people in the room, and no one was listening to each other. He was still like, I think he still thought they were going to have sex. Like, he still thought this was all part of it. You know? He was like, okay, I see what you're doing. And then she was like dying, and he was like, I mean, I guess. Okay.
This is when I really started to enjoy the movie, because we had recruited Convasar, and I was like, oh my god, he's going to have to watch this and live through this shit, and then he's going to have to talk about it. So it's just fantastic. I'm sure he was infuriated the whole time.
It was just confusing. Like, they didn't even try. They didn't consult anyone to be like, is this even remotely believable?
Well, like, so what does happen after, like, in your brain? Like, do we have any idea, like, what, like, they talk about, like near-death experiences and, like, what's it called, like pre-mortem, like, lucidity type of stuff? Like, do we know what causes all that stuff?
I mean, my very vague knowledge of it is that there's some release of, like, your body does its best to not die as best it can.
Yes.
So there's generally like a large surge of catecholamines and endorphins and dopamine and other things in the brain before it kind of fizzles out. And I think that they probably well document that as why people who have these kind of near-death experiences have these kind of euphoric visions.
Huh. Yeah.
I don't think it's a doorway to hell, though.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah, well, I mean, they successfully bring Courtney back in the nick of time, which is great. And then they get out of there, and they're sort of looking at the mapped activity, which is the world's best MRI machine. Like, was that an MRI machine that they were in? Because it seemed small. It just seemed like a big circle.
It looked like a CT scanner, not an MRI machine.
Yeah, because you didn't have to go all the way in it, right? It seemed like it was just one circle. Because I guess they needed access to her, right?
Just needed to scan her head.
Yeah.
MRI machines are generally bigger.
So if it's a CT scanner, like, the images that they got and the, like, I don't know, 1,000 frames per second of the electrical impulses that they were able to obtain, was just insane. It's just the best medical scanning device I've ever seen.
Yeah, brain MRIs generally take like 30 to 40 minutes.
Don't they have to? Yeah, they have to stay still for a half hour. So for them to have gotten so much footage is just insanely implausible, right?
Yeah, because she was wearing like the little hat, right?
The Cerebro?
Yeah, exactly. The Cerebro. Because, like, I was thinking, like, wouldn't the guy being on top of her, like, doing chest compressions, like, but no, it's like she had the special Cerebro hat. So I guess they could just map it that way.
Is what yeah, I don't... You also can't have a defibrillator in there.
No, you can't defibrillate someone while they're doing an MRI.
No. Because the giant ongoing magnet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's. I guess that makes sense.
What about their phone? Can you send text messages next to an MRI machine?
No, there's big things that say you're not allowed in here. There's actually been cases of people being killed in MRI machines, like bringing oxygen tanks in. That has been pulled into it and then exploded.
Yeah. Yikes.
Feels like they should have a different magnet outside the MRI machine to stop all the metal from going into the room. You know, just like anyone who tries to walk by gets, like, stuck to the door. And then they come and release you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so they get all this footage and they review it. And this is when I really started liking the character Ray, because he's just, you know, some of his lines are, I don't know what to think other than you're all pretty stupid. And they're looking at this imaging and they're like, oh yeah, it means this and this. And Ray just goes, who knows what we're looking at? We're not radiologists. So like throughout the movie, he's just trying to talk sense into these frickin' idiots and they're just not hearing it because, the next day, whenever Courtney's in class, she answers a couple questions correctly. I think she identifies Capgras syndrome or something. And what was the other one?
What was that one? Was that when they think people are imposters? Was that a different thing?
Yeah, the facial recognition, that was Capgras. And then the other one was like some side effect of carbamazepine. I don't fucking know what the drug was. But yeah, she got like two questions right in rounds. And also, I guess that night she baked 6 loaves of bread and then ran 12 miles. And I was like, it seems that she's doing things in multiples of 6 now. So she's probably going to go play 18 holes and work a 24-hour shift as her next order of business. But yeah, she can also play piano. What else? What other superpowers does Courtney now have?
I think that's like most of it. I think she used to play piano and it like came back to her was the point.
Yeah, she hadn't played in a long time, and she was apparently not playing well.
But, like, this is all it took to, like, convince the rest of them, like, oh, we got a flatline, like, medical school's that competitive, that, like, if anyone has an edge, you're like, okay, well, I guess we're all flatlining now. You know? You would have thought, like, I'm surprised there wasn't, like, more suspicion on them for, like, seems like, oh, you just got good at medicine overnight after you, you know, went fucking around in the basement, like... Should we look into that? But it's like, no. Like, there's no outside people in this movie, really?
No, it's all up to Kiefer Sutherland.
But, like, he's not even in this movie for the most part. Like, he doesn't really... Like, he's not really an authority figure they have to, like, avoid or anything. He just, like, doesn't exist for a large portion of the movie.
Yeah, that's fair. But, I don't know. So, Jamie's up next. He flatlines. And afterward, I guess they throw a rager in Courtney's apartment. And this is whenever the flatlining turns from, like, I don't know, an out-of-body experience that Courtney had. Which, by the way, she mentioned, she was like, I saw the top of the hospital, and I've never been up to the top of the hospital. And my question was, have you since gone up to the top of the hospital?
And, like, verified it? Or you're just like, I imagined what the top of a building must look like.
There's probably a helipad up on the roof.
It's like, I could, like... picture the top of a building, be like, oh my god, it's the top, like, you have no idea.
You know? Fucking clue. Yeah.
It was like she drew the top of the hospital from memory and then went up there and it was exactly the same and, like, demonstrated that. It was just like, oh yeah, no, I knew what it's like a flat thing with an H on it. Oh yeah, okay. Nailed it.
Yeah. So they're in Courtney's apartment. I don't think they reviewed Jamie's footage, but they do some minor renovations and some light food fighting. And then they follow that up by literally playing in traffic.
Yeah, this is when they're just high. Now. Like, first they, like, become, like, she becomes super smart. And then they're just, like, stoned. And yeah. they like, knocked out. She's like, I always wanted an open floor plan or something, and knocks down the wall. And then, yeah, at some point they go outside and they're, like, snowball fighting in traffic. And one of their friends
The one part that is medically accurate about this is that first year of med school is littered with partying. Now, not punching down walls necessarily, but, you know, certainly raging.
Yeah, you did a lot of raging?
Yeah.
And then one of their friends was like, it's like they're on the same wavelength. Like they have some, like, I don't know, because they both wanted to go play in traffic at the same time. I don't think, does that come back where they're, like, able to sort of see each other's thoughts type of thing or something? Or is that just a thing they said?
I don't think it comes back. I mean, they can't see each other's thoughts that clearly because after they've both flatlined, they literally have a moment on a bench where they're dancing around their experiences during the flatline, and they're like embarrassed to say that, oh yeah, I was spooked out because like I kept seeing this this woman or something. Oh yeah, I saw my sister. Like she dances around it, but she doesn't outright say it. And it's just like, for the sake of advancing medical knowledge, why would you be coy about any of this?
Yeah,
why
I think have they shame? Don't want to admit to the thing they're guilty about, right?
Oh, that's what it is.
I think. I mean, that's.
Yeah.
It feels like by the end of the movie, I still don't know what flatlining is in this movie. Like, I don't know if it's like a drug that you do. Like, heard of this movie, I thought it was just like basically a drug thing that they did where they like flatline and they need like the rush of it or something. I didn't know it like took the supernatural turn at any point. But that's like not really part of it either. They all just need a flatline once basically. And then they, you know, experience their like ghosts and stuff.
Yeah. One and done.
But like but they're only drugged up that one time, it feels like. Or I guess they go to like the dock. There's like a party on a dock at some point, right?
Well, that's after so after Jamie's is whenever they have the rager and they do the light renovations and remodeling in the apartment. And then after Marlo almost dies, Sophia got yelled at by her mother, who's like an overbearing, I don't know, wants her to succeed in med school. And she was like, nah, I gotta flatline now. You guys all get to be smart, and I gotta fucking be smart because I'm a dumbass and I can't memorize things. So they go kill her too, but it's like a risk because the cleaning crew is gonna empty the non-existent trash that exists all over this vacant fucking hospital floor. So anyway, yeah, so they go down and kill her, and then they make like a amazing getaway. Like it's a goddamn bank heist.
Yeah,
I don't know.
They like do a chase in like the Mini Cooper. They like bash through the automatic like lift gate thing for some reason. It seemed like it would have been easier to explain. Like, oh, sorry, we were just down here. We weren't doing any flatlining. You know, like it's not like they were like the cleaning crew was gonna like I don't know. Like, what were they gonna arrest them for? Being in the basement, it seems like, oh, hey, you're not supposed to be down here. Oh, sorry. But, like, then they do a whole chase, like...
I don't know if I missed the part where they actually caught them, or because, like, the one guy went out to go head them off, and then I felt like the alarm started.
Yeah, no, so what Jamie did is he left the room as Marlo, or no, as they were resuscitating Sophia.
Yep.
And he just pulled a fire alarm.
Oh,
and
he did, okay.
He ran away, yeah, and met up with them later.
Yeah, and then so, they all cram into the Mini Cooper and race around town for some, like, it seems like they just committed, like, 12 more crimes for some reason. When, like, all they had done was, like, I guess misuse hospital property, but also, again, I don't think the cleaning rooms aren't, like, also security guards. Like, they're not going to give a shit. Like, they'll just kick you out. Like, me and Dave actually went into, like, a hospital building, you know, and set off an alarm. And I don't know. At no point do we have to, like, escape. We just sort of left.
Yeah, but also, like, whenever he pulls the fire alarm, the security is still, like, chasing these people. And you don't see a whole bunch of people, like, outside after having evacuated. So there's no evacuation protocol in this goddamn hospital building. Is this the old building? It's completely abandoned?
Yeah, maybe it was only in, like, the basement hospital that was the fire alarm.
Yeah, okay, I guess. They didn't have to evacuate the whole building. So I thought they were just going to run people over as soon as they got out of the parking garage. Just mauling people down, you know, mowing them.
But jump out and they're like, wait, I'm a doctor.
Yeah, so after that, they do go to like a outdoor disco party. And they're on drugs again then, too.
Yeah. Yeah, the flatlining effects don't seem to happen, like, when you flatline. It just happens whenever. If you've ever flatlined in your life, you can experience...
It's unclear to me why flatlining would cause you to have superpowers or, like, these things afterwards.
Yeah. So you've never... No one you know has ever tried this.
No.
Okay.
No.
then it's clearly not putting in enough effort to advance medical knowledge over there, you know? Like, aren't there easier ways to go about this? Like, aren't there people that die in hospitals very regularly that you could just say, hey,
it's like one of the major
can I map
things.
Your fucking brain as you die, you know, later on tonight?
I mean, they do that already. They do MRIs of people who are, like, severely brain dead or brain injured. They, you know, play them music and will speak to them and other things, so.
Yeah, that seems like the proper way to go about it. Not this super risky, fucking stupid idea, but hey,
it gotta make a movie. Like in some of these movies, like, the thing would be, you get someone else and you, like, flatline them while you scan them or something. Like, you don't decide to be the experiment yourself.
Oh, yeah, just propofol people and then go flatline them. And then you're just like a serial flatline propofoler.
Yeah, and it, like, eventually someone dies and that's like a whole thing or something. But, like, I don't know why her first thing is, like, I need to advance medical knowledge. I guess I could try to, like, solve an illness. And it's like, no, I'm going to try to, like, investigate the afterlife by dying over and over. It's just like, it's like her first idea, you know? It's not even, like, clear why she gets there.
She had optional first year reading.
You know? And she just, like, immediately is like, yep, got a flatline. Can't do anything else. It's my only chance to get into, you know, prestigious residency or whatever.
It's competitive. It's a top medical school.
Listen, if you don't get, you know, somewhere on match day, you're fucked. You know?
Yeah, so after the, you know, ecstasy rager, Sophia bangs Jamie. As her mother's, like, knocking on the door. And Ray ends up banging Marlo, which is great. And then, is this, at the time, does Courtney, like, start suffering even more intense hallucinations?
Yeah, I think this is around when she's having, like, the sister stuff. And she records, like, her, little, like, I don't know, Instagram reel of what's going to happen to her or something.
Oh, she wasn't periscoping that?
Yeah. She was live streaming, like, I think there's a ghost. I don't know what to do. If anyone sees this, I've been haunted by a ghost. And then she, what, gets pushed out the window?
Yeah, I was unsure as to whether or not the ghost could actually interact with people in the real world, because, like, with the other people, they couldn't, or they didn't, except for the one that gets stabbed in the hand for some reason.
Yeah.
But, like, the other ones were all interacted with in, like, the dead world?
Yeah. So,
yeah, I thought the stabbing in the hand was more like a Fight Club thing, where they're just schizophrenic, and they think that somebody else is doing it to them, but in fact they're just doing it to themselves, right?
Yeah, like, did he stab himself in the hand with something?
They never really addressed that.
Wasn't he in the water, though?
Well, then he reaches out, and he puts his hand up on the dock, and...
Wait, but it's not like he had a knife in his other hand to stab through his hand, and then, like...
I've never met a medical student that lives on a boathouse, by the way, either.
Yeah, but they're all rich assholes that just screwing around, as Ray said.
That's true.
Yeah, no, I think all these characters kind of suck, too. Like, they're just so unappealing that it's hard to, like, get invested in any of this. Like, you always hope when they flatline, like, maybe they just don't wake up, and you're like, we're done with some of these guys.
As soon as they began playing in traffic, I was like, yeah, this is fantastic. As it's, you know, sleeting and it's slippery out, you're literally in the middle of the road. I hope you all die.
Isn't that like what they say? They're like, oh, it's hailing out. Let's run outside. Like,
yes.
Is that a thing? You're like, I want to go outside in the hail? Like, that's not a thing.
It's painful.
It's not fun. So yeah, then she dies like halfway through the movie, which was pretty surprising. Like, I thought she was the lead. I mean, I think, Marlo is sort of billed as the lead.
Oh, really? But, Nina Dobrev?
Yeah, or at least, I guess, but, like, she didn't seem important at all. It mostly seemed to be a Courtney movie until she's just dead, maybe, like, two-thirds of the way through.
Yeah, I thought it was a Courtney and Ray movie, peppered with some Jamie, Sophia, and Marlo.
Yeah, but Ray, I mean, Ray doesn't really do anything. I guess he's the only one who doesn't flatline.
He's the only one keeping them alive. If it weren't for him, all of them would just die, you know, in a row.
like, he doesn't have, like, a story, really. Like, he doesn't do anything. He's just sort of the same guy throughout. You know, everyone else, like, learns their lesson because they have their flatline ghosts, but he's just sitting there, like, mad at them for flatlining all the time. He's just like, will you people stop flatlining? I'm trying to be a doctor. I don't know. I didn't like him. I thought he had a stupid haircut. He had, like, a weird, like, half-long hair with the short ponytail.
Is there a young Antonio Banderas?
Yeah, Diego Luna. Do you guys recognize him from anything? He's from Rogue One in Andor, I think.
I did not realize
Cassie in Andor? No? You don't
recognize? Nah.
I think he's really big now. I don't think he was big then.
No, I don't think it was from this movie.
What? No, I don't think anyone got big from this movie. I think it sort of went the other way. although this movie made money somehow.
Really?
It made $45 million on a $19 million budget. Which isn't, like, great, but, like, isn't a disaster. And it feels like this should be a disaster. yeah, so the guy's swimming. He gets his hand stabbed. He's hearing baby things. What's the other girl doing? The girl, Malo, keeps seeing jellyfish.
Yeah, her Cyrus Edgerton came in with a jelly sting to the jellyfish sting to the face.
I thought that just made it like a little too goofy. Was that like? I guess they wanted something that had like a visual to it, but they're just like, oh yes, I killed a man because I gave him the wrong medicine after he came in for a jellyfish sting. It just sounded like it's just like such a hodgepodge of stuff. It's like how many jellyfish stings? Like I don't know. That can't be a common thing. Like, guy gets stung in the face with a jellyfish. So, yeah, then they just all have visions, and they all just have to apologize to people. And if your person's alive, you can just go up to them and apologize, and then your vision ghost will go away. But if you wronged a dead person, you have to go to the afterlife to do it?
Oh, I thought she had, at the end of the movie, went to confess to the dean what she did.
Yeah, and she was put on probation.
Oh, yeah. So she actually didn't need to do the final flatlining? Is that what it was?
I don't think she intended to flatline. I think she tried to commit suicide.
No, really?
Yeah, she needed to stop.
Yeah, but I thought that's because she was going to go into the afterlife and apologize.
Yeah, but if that were the case, she needs a team there to bring her back.
Well, that's why she texted all her friends and says, I'm flatlining right now. Please help me. Or you think she was like, I'm killing myself. Come get my body.
That's what I thought. That was the feeling.
Okay, maybe. It could have gone either way. Oh, no. Yeah. Okay.
Well, so Jamie is, he has to go now be a father because he didn't attend the abortion. He's got the Roz deal. He's not just slapped on the wrist with a probation. He's not forgiven by Irina for sharing some nudes. He's not dead like Courtney. He's got to be a goddamn full-time father over there. And all he did was not attend the abortion. He's just like the least crime and the most severe punishment.
I think, feel like the death may have been the most severe, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird that ghost, like, killed her. I mean, I guess the ghosts were getting more violent, but it seems like, I don't know.
Well, I mean, how would she have been able to apologize to her dead sister for having texted?
She had a flatline again, because you can apologize in the afterlife.
And that's what Marlo did.
To me, why the dead sister? Like, who were the, was the sister the ghost, or was it a malevolent spirit? Like,
yeah, the ghost. Yeah, this is like a very vindictive movie. Like, everyone who died is angry at you, and if you, like, cross over, then they'll find you and come, you know, like, so don't flatline or they'll find you type of thing. Like, they've opened a portal to all these ghosts that are haunting them.
Yeah, but Irina's not dead. Like, it just, nor is Jamie's ex-girlfriend.
Yeah. Now, that's true, too.
So, it just doesn't make any sense. I guess they couldn't come up with a way for Courtney to be forgiven by her dead sister for having texted and caused the accident.
Irina, is that what it is? Yeah. That one's funny because she just like goes to the girl and is like, hi, I'm sorry for the nudes. Can you forgive me? And the girl's like, yeah, it was a while ago. And she's like, no, I need you to officially forgive me because of the ghost. Like, this is a, I need to sign this ghost waiver saying you're like, she was like, the girl was like, it's fine. It was a while ago. And she's like, that doesn't count. The ghost is still angry. Like, you know, it's like, it seems like she was close enough. And then the girl comes back. It's like, there's just no conflict in that scene. It feels like the lady would be mad, but she's like, no, I'm over it. Like, I didn't mind my nudes being all over the internet. Like, that happens. And especially when I was underage, that's just something that happens. You know, it seemed like she should have faced some consequences. Marlo got, like, in more trouble for, like, it's not even that she got in trouble for killing the guy. She got in trouble for, like, changing altering his medical records to, like, say, like, oh, I didn't accidentally kill the guy. He died of a jellyfish sting. Because she gave him some medicine that, I don't know, had some side effects or something. Or, like, some, what do you call it?
Reactivity.
Cross-reactivity.
Yeah, but it doesn't, that's all also nonsense.
That was all nonsense. Oh, yeah.
The metoprolol or whatever.
Yeah, the metoprolol and the epi.
Yeah. Do you get all, have you ever dealt with the jellyfish thing?
I have not, no.
Really? Is it true you're supposed to pee on people if they get jellyfish on them?
No, that's what they say and or used to say, but I don't
really
think. Do you
guys have urine in the hospital in case there's a jellyfish thing?
No, but we have some other weird shit.
What's like the weirdest like equipment you have in the hospital?
Probably medical leeches and medical maggots.
Yeah. Have you used those?
I mean, I've taken care of patients that have them on them, but I personally did not put the order in for them.
So do you guys have like a little maggot farm in like the basement or something?
I don't know where they're kept. But
if like,
they
you
certainly...
needed a leech, do you like six leeches stat?
Yeah, you put in an order for medical leeches.
And someone just like the leech, you have like a leech guy?
Someone brings them.
Isn't that like fucking 18th century medicine? Why are there
still done now?
Because they're
what are the medical benefits of leeches?
They're most commonly used for grafts when you hook up an artery to directly to a vein where there's no capillary bed between it to like distribute blood and oxygen and stuff to tissue. The tissue can get very congested there because you're flowing from like a very high pressure, high volume system into a low one. So you can get basically blood and hematoma that leaks out into the space around the connection. And, or not just the veins, other arteries as well. And so you put a leech, you put leeches on them to basically help drain and evacuate a leak around it. The problem becomes when the leeches are full and they start to crawl away. So you got to keep an eye on them.
That's why you need a bunch of leeches so you can swap them out. You can hot swap the leeches.
Like, there's like a bucket of them in water.
Yeah, you might as well.
And the maggots are generally for burn patients.
Yeah, because they only what? They only eat dead tissue.
Yep.
Why is that? Like, why do they just they don't like the taste of live tissue?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? You didn't study that? Okay. Thought that would come up.
Not my field of work.
Now, when you were first year med student, do you guys all wear lab coats and stuff?
Yep. So that's also medically accurate. Short white coats are for when you are a med student, and then you get your long white coat when you become an attending.
Oh, traditionally, you actually get a different coat. Okay.
Wait, whenever you become a resident?
Yep. When you graduate,
residents are considered attendings.
No, I'm sorry. When you become a when you graduate medical school and start residency, you get your long white coat.
So, what are you now?
Whenever you're an actual fucking doctor, you get a long white coat, I think is what you said, right?
So okay. You just a doctor? Do you have, like, a title?
Right now, I am an assistant professor.
You're a professor?
I am.
Do you do doctor stuff, though, or do you just do teaching?
Yeah, no, it's just a title when you work at an academic medical center.
Oh. Do they not know that's confusing, though? Because it makes it sound like you, like, spend your time in a classroom?
Well, I mean, I teach and have residents and fellows.
Okay.
Are you demanding of your residents and fellows to the point where they might try to kill themselves?
Yeah, like, what's your teaching style?
Brain activity? Are you as demanding
point,
as Kiefer?
But I've been told that I am quite I can be quite demeaning.
Yeah,
and I am.
Was this by a student or just by people in your personal life?
It's by residents.
Okay. Have you tried being less demeaning?
No, absolutely not. These are grown 30-year-old adults who refuse to read or learn anything, and so.
Do you find it frustrating when people don't know things you think they should know?
Yes, very much so.
I can imagine.
Especially in the thing that they consider themselves to be experts in.
Yeah. Which is medicine, in this case. Yeah.
Stuff.
Now,
that was quite the movie.
When you had residence? Were they, like, demanding of you?
What do you mean when I had residence?
Like, when you, like, when you were the student, is this how they were with you? Were they?
Oh, I don't do this with students. I do it with residents, usually graduating residents who are close to becoming attendings, who still don't know anything.
Still don't know anything. Are they going to be doctors?
They are.
I think they're already doctors.
You can't, like, fail them for not knowing anything?
No.
No. Do you give grades? Do you, like, nope. If you're a professor? No?
Nope, just evaluations.
Those seem similar to grades, though. You just don't use letters?
I guess so.
Okay. And do you wear a white coat every day, too? Do you do that?
I don't, no. I just wear my scrubs.
Really? Just scrubs, okay.
I'm not a big white coat person. Maybe I'll try next year, try and reinvent myself in my next job.
Yeah. Just have, like, a new persona?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I'll go the Kiefer Sutherland route.
Just change your name.
Beard.
Oh, grow a beard? Okay. Yeah. Do people call you Dr. Conversa? What do they call you?
They do, yeah.
Like, Dr. Conversa. I have an important flatline question type of thing.
Speaking of medical wear, might be a good time for a word from our sponsor of today's episode, Skull Caps. If you practice medicine and like to look badass when you do, then holy shit, have we got the product for you. Skull Caps are scrub caps with designs inspired by fun, colorful, interesting things we all love, such as food, whimsical flowers, and mythical animals, all with the common theme of skulls. If your favorite bones are your skull and not bedroom activities with your significant other, get excited. Skull Caps also feature sweatbands in case things get steamy from everyone miring your dome, elastic straps in the back to fit your sick mane, and 100% cotton, because fuck polyester. If you aren't a medical professional but still love the designs, stickers of the same design are also available for purchase. Skull Caps also offers free shipping within the U.S. on orders of $30 or more. So if you want your days to have more floral whimsy, pick up a skull cap and some stickers at skullcapsco.com today.
Awesome. Thank you, Tank.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We're glad to have a new sponsor. Good sponsor. Now, is it true those were designed by real Hispanic people?
I actually don't have those details.
You don't have, because they're sugar skulls.
Yeah, I don't know. This is all they gave me.
That's all they gave you. Okay.
No problem. Yeah.
Fair enough. Perfect. So, what do we think of this movie?
Well, I think at the end, it was kind of upsetting that they took a real pro-littering stance, and to really ensure that Courtney died in vain, they just throw this laptop with all this brain mapping activity off a bridge. So it was kind of disappointing in that regard. But outside of that, I think I really enjoyed it because it's billed as a horror/sci-fi, but I think it's just pure comedy from about 15 minutes in through the rest, peppered with an occasional jump scare. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it.
So that's an uncle from you?
I'm giving it an uncle.
Okay. Dave, what did you think? As the doctor...
I don't remember the scale exactly.
What's uncle or nephew?
So. Nephew. I'm going to go ahead and give this a nephew. I don't think it did medicine or scares very well.
Okay.
It was, you know, it's kind of like you said, Dave, that didn't really like the characters at any point, any of them. And, yeah, it just wasn't for me.
Yeah, it wasn't really for that many people. I also thought it was pretty bad. I think it's a nephew for me. I saw it was billed as a sci-fi horror movie. What was the sci-fi element of this? It was
is Supernatural considered sci-fi?
I mean, I thought, like, you would think sci-fi is like science fiction, though. This is just like, what if you had ghosts or something? What if you had
literally everything
ghosts?
They did from a medical perspective was completely fictional. So that's the science-y fictional part.
Was it fictional, though? They just, like, died and resuscitated each other.
Yeah, in a very fictional way. you know, in an unbelievable, implausible way.
I feel like if you said, I'm going to sit down, I want to show you guys a sci-fi movie, and you showed people this, they'd be very disappointed. Is what I'm saying. And,
yeah, I guess usually you think Star Wars or something.
I mean, you sort of think, I don't know, some kind of science fiction. I don't know. Something will be involved. This just sounds like, I don't know, doctors doing, you know, flatlining. I was really surprised with, like, the ghost thing. I was also surprised they threw away the laptop. It seems like at the end, now that they had, like, confirmed evidence that flatlining caused ghosts, that would be, like, the time you'd be, like, really interested in what the fuck flatlining was. And they're just like, nah, we can't play with this. This is too much power for any one person to have. We got to throw away the laptop. Also, like, you could have, like, used the laptop for other stuff. It wasn't like the ghost lived in the laptop. They just, like, drop a MacBook into the water. It's like, you could have just deleted your scans. It's not like the scans would come get you or something. If you, I don't know. Doesn't matter. So, yeah, I didn't think it was great. I also just found the characters to be, like, really annoying, and I don't know if it was the actors doing anything good or bad, but just no one was really operating at 100% here, I don't think. So, nephew for me.
Well, the critics agreed with you. It got a 4% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's very low.
Yes.
That's actually the lowest I've even ever heard of.
But on IMDb, it was 5.2, so it wasn't disqualified. Like, had it been under 5, I would have said we can't do it. But yeah, 4%, not well received on Rotten Tomatoes. They didn't see the humor in it.
It is quite. I mean, I also didn't think it was funny.
Was the original one, like, good?
I think it actually was better reviewed. I'm not sure what the hell the difference was between the two. But yeah, its IMDb score is a little bit better, and so is its Rotten Tomatoes.
It'd be kind of insane to, like, 20 years later, or 25 years later, remake, like, a movie that wasn't well-received at all. But they sort of, like, did? I mean, the first one was only, like, kind of well-received? And then they're like, we need another bite. Like, this story is so good, we need a bite of this apple. Like, you know, we haven't told the real flatlining story. Like, there's more to flatlining than we showed in the first one. And then they did it worse somehow. Because, it was kind of just stupid. Like, the whole time, you're just kind of like, is this all dumb? And then it was like, yeah, it was.
I wonder if, like, the first movie was limited in what they could do from a CGI perspective. And maybe the actual, like, flatlining trips that they're having were more adventurous in this one compared to the old one.
I mean, but the first one was made in 1990. It wasn't, like, you know, at the advent of film, and like the effects in this weren't like much. Like, there was stuff, but like nothing crazy, especially for a movie made so recently. It was only made 7 years ago or eight years ago, I guess.
Yeah, maybe that. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, thank you, Dave. I feel like we learned a lot about medicine. Listen, if you have any other medical movies, we'll have to have you come back.
Not necessarily medical, but I have some thoughts, certainly.
You have thoughts on other stuff?
Yeah, of other movies.
Oh, we'll have to get a list from you then. Okay, so, Tank, you want to take us out?
Oh, yeah, sure, with some tidbits?
Oh, yeah, Tank's tidbits, okay.
Welcome to Tank's tidbits. Today's movie is Flatliners, which got its name from medical monitors that show no heart or brain activity. Speaking of doctors, if you have a doctoral degree in law, philosophy, or anything other than medicine, you should not refer to yourself as Dr. Anything. To do so in this egregious theft of valor and respect, if you introduce yourself to me as Dr. So-and-so, I'm going to ask you where you went to med school, and if you then clarify which type of doctor you are, it was not nice meeting you. Excuse me, I've got to go do this thing. This is not a Q&A tidbit.
My other thing is, if you're a doctor, you shouldn't introduce yourself as a professor, because people are going to ask what school you teach at, and it's going to be confusing. So it seems like everyone should just call themselves by their job, if that's what they're going to do. But you shouldn't call yourself by a different job that you don't have. Is that part of your point, Dick?
Okay.
Sounds good.
Well, that just seems like another, like, an add-on tidbit.
Modica's tidbits.
Well, no, I don't think it's Mike.
Monica's Morsels.
Yeah, sure.
Shortly following Tag's Tidbits.
Well, mine was sort of related to what we were talking about. It was just sort of...
Yeah, you're good at riffing. You're a yes-and kind of guy. Well,
I was just trying to, you know, go with what you were saying.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Okay.
All right, well, hey.
Because it's just like, if someone were to call, like, say I'm a professor, I wouldn't, like, call them in a medical emergency, but then it turns out they're a doctor the whole time. You know? Do you understand what I'm saying?
It's a good point.
Do people who are lawyers introduce themselves as doctors?
Infrequently.
Really? Do you know anybody who's done that?
College professors do it.
Oh, really? Yikes.
Well, I know, like, some people, like, I had teachers who introduced themselves as doctors, but, like, I didn't know any lawyers who did that. Okay. Well, anyways, are we out? Are we...
We're out. We already did the fuen.
Okay,
you're going
to do it again, though. Just,
no,
that,
no, we
that,
don't.
No, that's
no,
how we do
the
end.
No, it's only two per time. It's
like,
only two
it's
per.
Like the, you, but you missed a few before.
So if I X out of this thing right now, is it going to cancel the upload?
This is like a makeup one for the ones
no,
you skipped.
No.
Yeah, you got to go on. Just do it so I can end the thing. Do it so I can end the thing. I can't do it. No, you did. That was a soft one. That wasn't even your best
one. Come on,
just do one.
Repeat that one.
Just do one. No, I can't.
Good episode.
We do no editing. Come on, just do it. Dave, do you want to do it? You can do a guest one.
Okay.
Thank you.